Going to go ahead and begin with our lesson for this evening. On last Thursday night, because right now Tim and I we've changed evenings. We'll probably get back to our regular scheduled times where I'll be speaking on this coming Tuesday. But tonight is Thursday, is January 3rd, 2019. And so it's my desire to continue in the 22nd chapter of First Kings. I'll go ahead and tell you, it is likely that I am not going to complete this chapter on this evening because there are some parts that I'm hoping to try and bring out if I can. But anyway, at this point, I'm going to pray, and then I'll give sort of a recap, if you will, where we were on last Thursday evening, and then we're going to go into the Word of God and look at this a portion of this passage of scripture, and do as we normally do. So may the word of God bless us. I want to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this opportunity in which you give us a time to come together and to ponder and study your word. You said that it's written for our learning. So there's something is really not just for us to just look at and say, okay, we met and we discussed, but it's written for us to see some patterns. It's written for us to remember who you are and how others in the past responded, rejected, or chastened by, reproved, exhorted, whatever by your word. I'm asking, as I often do, that you will help us to hear you, not hear just that we hear with our physical ears, but to hear you with our hearts and minds and the spirit you've given us to effect change in our lives that will conform to your holy will. Help me to be clear, Lord, because there's so much here tonight, so much. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the explanation of your word. And I ask that you help us in various areas of our lives. Build us up where we're weak. Help us to yield not to temptation. Help us not to yield when those things perhaps come to our hearts, dear Lord, that will cause us or tempt us to deny you. May we grow stronger and stronger in your word. I ask these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. So we're going to pick back up on this evening on where we left off on last Thursday night and looking at what's going on in the life of Ahab. We were talking about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. So last week, we only did a portion of 1 Kings 22. I'm thinking that we went up to somewhere around the 18th. Or the 20th, 21st verse. So I want to give a small recap of where we were. When we were looking at it on last week, we were looking at King Ahab, who was wanting to go up and fight against the Syrians. If you can remember, I believe it was in chapter 20, where we saw that Ahab had conflict with the Syrians and God had given him victory on two occasions. There was a year, maybe a little over a year. It was about a year's time when he had conflict with him, and then the prophet told him, said, okay, you're going to have conflict again. God was had given him the victory over that. But because Ahab was not totally committed to the will of God, and that when that king of Syria was, captured, he was to destroy him, and he did not do that. And he was rebuked by the prophet, and Ahab went to his house, and he was upset. So at the beginning of chapter 22, we see that, am I heard clearly? At the beginning of chapter 22, we see that some time had elapsed. This was about the space of 3 years, and Ahab was having conflict again with the Syrians. And so what he does is he seeks the assistance of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was one of his kinsmen. When I say kinsmen, I'm speaking, if we think of the 12 tribes that God had set up, there came a point where when the kingdom was established through, let's say, David and then Solomon and Rehoboam, we understand that there was a split. This is not new to us. And so often, hopefully you won't get tired of me reiterating some of these things, but we want to remember, because remember when we go into the Kings, there's lots of names and then the places and so forth. Let's go back to the point. The southern kingdom, Judah, and the northern kingdom, Israel, there was often conflict one with the other, even though they were all Hebrews. When I say all Hebrews, in the way that God had designed it, there would be strangers or foreigners from time to time who would come, but we're talking about God's people. Anyway, going back to where we were, Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to help him. I hope you remember that we have established that Ahab was wicked. If I ask you the question, why is it, or how is it that we could say Ahab was wicked? What would you say? Could you give me one thing? One might really be good, but could you give me two or three? This is not to make you feel bad, but let's just at least put one or two back out there. Ahab had married Jezebel, who was a wicked woman of the Phoenicia area, which is Sidonian. Okay. They had false gods. God had told them, don't have any other gods before me, in front of me. Don't put any other god in front of me. They are not powerful. Okay. We've talked about this god. This god was Baal, or some people will say Baal. You see, he had what some would say a counterpart, Asherah. I'm not going to go into that right now. I might. Okay. So Jehoshaphat was Asa's son. Asa, for the most part, was a good king, but we see his end. He's like, oh, Asa. Go back and read about Asa. And we see Jehoshaphat was a good king. Now, we last week we went and we looked a little bit of, I think it was 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, somewhere in the beginning, where we saw that Asa had gone and he decided that he would visit King Ahab up in the north. And so this is when King Ahab determines, says, you know, I'm going to ask Jehoshaphat, maybe I won't say exactly when, but he lets Jehoshaphat know, I need your help. I need you to help me go and fight against this king of Syria. Now, the problem is that when we continue to see the scripture, we see that God is displeased with this. Now, why? Jezebel had influenced Ahab, and Ahab was such a weak man, not following the scriptures, Deuteronomy 17. Read the whole chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. And they had false gods and false prophets. This comes somewhere after the time where Jezebel had killed Nabal, had two false witnesses. We talked about that. So it's around a little bit after this time that we still see that Ahab did not. So he did repent. I think at the end of the, 21st chapter, but then time passes and that repentance was short-lived. I was like, okay, how real was it? Because we talked about God staying or delaying his judgment to kill King Ahab. What are you talking about, Gary? Jehu the prophet had come to Ahab and he said, you know what? You're going to die. You're going to die. And the dogs, I didn't talk about how despicable the dog was, but when you think about an animal licking up the blood of another animal, it's like, ooh, right? Think about what? It's a despicable animal. It wasn't like over here in the West and often in Europe, people love their dogs. Some people say it's even like it's a part of the family. Well, once even when I was abroad, I saw people taking their little dogs on a train, big train ride, 6-7 hours, so forth. And those dogs look, I mean, not in cages. Look, bring this dog. Well, it was not like that. It was a nasty, despicable creature that would lick up death. Why do I say it like that? I haven't forgotten where we're going tonight. God would often have his people understand leprosy is a sign of sin and death. Don't touch death. Don't touch the bones. I want the blood poured out. Just you see these things. So that dog was despicable. How did I get to that? The prophet told Ahab, just like what happened to Baasha. I think the other one was like Jeroboam, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. that the dogs are going to lick up your blood. This is a part of your judgment. You're going to know it. And the dogs are going to eat Jezebel, your wicked, 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 evil, conniving wife. Yeah. My wife said she was stink. So this is kind of where we were. So this wicked, so I wanted to paint the picture of Ahab, lest we have forgotten. Jehoshaphat, when we started looking at Jehoshaphat, the Bible told us that he followed in the ways of his father, I think Father David, but Asa was even good for a while. Okay. So Jehoshaphat, in communicating and going to visit Ahab, he says, yeah, I will help you. I'm ready to help you. Like, my forces are your forces. In other words, as a king, I have an army there at my beck and call, and I'm going to let you use them. But then Ahab, it seems, come to his senses, because on last week, I think I gave my title as, is God an afterthought in your life? Because Ahab had agreed to, Jehoshaphat had agreed to help Ahab. And then he said, is there a prophet of God? So it's interesting, because if you can remember the text, I'm not really gonna try to rush this tonight. So I'm thinking we'll get to about verse maybe 38 or 40, but there's some things that we must look at, I think, from this text. So we'll get to where we get to, and when I feel like it's time to stop, that's where I'm gonna stop. So there's 400 prophets that Ahab has, and they are influenced by Jezebel. And Ahab says, shall we go up and fight against Ramoth Gilead? See, at the beginning of the 22nd chapter, Ahab says, you know, we've got this land and we haven't done anything in these past few years to go back and get it. Interestingly enough, and I was thinking about this last week, I didn't say anything about it, but I was reading again and it just percolated the question in my mind, caused me to think. When Ahab in the, I think it's the 21st chapter, he was talking with Ben-Hadad, and he should have killed Ben-Hadad the second. Ben-Hadad said, well, we'll have a league. We'll help one another in the land and the territories that my father took from you all. I'll give it back. I haven't seen anything that shows the circumstance, the situation, or the historical account for how that flipped. But what we know is that through the process of time, Ahab lost it again. So Ahab's like, well, we're going to go back and get this. We'll go back and get this land. We're going to claim it. So he needs some help, more fortitude to go up against Syria. Jehoshaphat says, yeah, I'll help you. So Ahab asked all of his prophets, shall I go up and fight against this, the Syrians to reclaim Ramoth Gilead? His prophets are like, yes, yes, the Lord will deliver it into thy hands. Notice, he's asking prophets. This, let me slow down. This is a religious setting. He's doing what it seems that he should. He's asking counsel, right? And so Jehoshaphat, having already said that we will help you, he says, but is there a prophet of God? Now, there's some things about Jehoshaphat that puzzles me here. But I say, well, have you ever done some things in your life and you knew about God and you did it anyway? Ouch. Ouch. Jehoshaphat says, we need the counsel of a godly prophet. Ahab says, yeah, there is somebody, but I hate this man. I hate him. We come to find out that the name of the prophet is Micaiah. Micaiah, as we read through the scriptures, we understand that Micaiah had been put in prison. Why had Micaiah been put in prison? Micaiah had said some things. We aren't necessarily given the total dialogue about it. Some believe it. From some of the earlier scriptures that we've read one or two chapters before, that Micaiah was one of those unnamed prophets. Let's go back to what we're talking about. I hate Micaiah. He only prophesies evil against me. We should understand that Ahab understood that he had false prophets, and he liked what the false prophets said. How can we understand that? Well, we'll see again in a few minutes. I hope my synopsis is not too long. If it is, we'll be okay. Because Micaiah would say the things that Ahab did not want to hear, that was Ahab's opportunity to be cleansed and rebuked and set back on the right track of following God and leading the people of God in the right way. It was very important that Ahab do that, but he did not. I'm saying this because I know where we're going in the scriptures. I said, when Micaiah rebuked Ahab, that was God's love and showing him this is wrong. You cannot afford to continue this way. In spite of how you feel, in spite of your wicked wife, in spite of these 400 prophets, I send a man to tell you the truth. Well, okay. So he says, go get him. Go get him. And so the messenger that goes, or the servant that goes to get Micaiah, he tells Micaiah, I don't know the servant's name. If it was there, I don't remember what it was. I don't think it was. The servant tells Micaiah, it's like maybe right before he got him or while they were en route to where Ahab and Jehoshaphat were. Remember, the Bible said they were sitting on the throne. So I was like, Anyway, I won't go into what I thought, some of the things I thought about that. He says, you know what, Micaiah? Everybody out there, they have a unanimous prediction for King Ahab. They're telling King Ahab, go on up to fight against the Syrians. Now, Micaiah, we just need you to be just like that. Don't cause problems. Don't stir up anything. In other words, we know you different. But this one time, don't say it. It'll be good for everybody. We just need you to agree, man. Come on, agree. So we get out there, and Ahab poses the question to Micaiah. And Micaiah makes fun of Ahab. Dream, if you could tell me what the verse is. I'm not going to read it because I'm almost through where we were. Micaiah tells Ahab, yeah, just like, and I'm putting this in a way that we can kind of remember. Hopefully you remember. Verse what? Verse 15. So if you want to say, where are you, Gary, in chapter 22 of verse of 1 Kings? I mean, about verse 15 of chapter 22. Micaiah says, yeah, Ahab, go on up there. The Lord's going to deliver Ramoth-Gilead in your hands. Now, he's being sarcastic. So again, if you just read this, you say, what? Ahab said he always prophesies evil. And we talked about evil and good. We turned to Isaiah, I think, was it the fifth chapter? I think we turned to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. We were looking at it. Anyway, when the people, that's the people of Ahab, Israel, people of today, when God gives his standards, his statutes, and his law, can I deviate for a second? It's not a true deviation. People, and in many churches, will say that the law has been done away with and that we don't have to consider the law in our modern times today in the year 2019 or in, let's say, the 21st century. We need to understand that when we look at the law, we can say maybe being abolished. The Bible tells us that the law was good and nothing was really wrong with it, but it could not do what the law. Go read Romans 8. Because of men, the law would seem to be imperfect because men would continue to do wickedly. But there is that the understanding that the law of the ceremony that was given to the people by Moses and that was sustained through the centuries, it's as if that was not really, it was not perfect, it was not complete. Why? Because it was things that they would continue to think, well, if I do this, if I do that, then I'm good with God. But God always wanted their hearts. He was always looking for obedience. If you look in Deuteronomy, Exodus, the 19th chapter, there was a contract with God and his people. I'm going to get to the text, but we're teaching tonight. It's of the utmost importance. I said I wasn't going to rush, and I don't intend to. God, when Moses brought those commandments down, his face was shining, and the people saw that he had been in the presence of God, and they were afraid. They knew the mountain was quaking. They knew that it was on fire. Moses came down in spirit and power of the Lord, and they were afraid. And Moses let the people know what God had said, and they said, we're going to do that. But throughout the process of time, they would not do what God had said. But God had given them his laws, and their laws of like sacrificing animals, it was to be an expiation or how can I say this? A substitution for when they had done certain types of wickedness, that God would say, I will accept this animal instead of killing you. And there were different types of sacrifices. God said, I'm going back to the law, because I know what I'm trying to talk about here. The ceremonies of bringing doves, goats, lamb, bullocks, whatever you could afford for whatever type of high-handed sin or sin that was done in ignorance, we're not going to do this, but I'm going to provide my son. The scripture will give us to know that. So there is a law that was fulfilled in Christ for us today. When Christ came on the scene as a baby and he grew up and he started talking to the people, it was supposed to bring a repentant spirit. Because God was still judging. God was still judging. He said, now, this temple, Christ is the representation of that ceremonial law. Now I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to put my law in your words. There is still a law that is supposed to be fulfilled. And if we are the true representation of Christ, how is it that we think we can treat Christ's body in any kind of way? Lying. Stealing, vengeance, backbiting, different types of illicit sexual activity and relationships that God has damned. And think that just because you say something with your mouth, but continue to do it because your heart is like Ahab's, I'm going to do it anyway. God has to forgive me. He does not have to forgive. Because he gives the parameters. And I'm gonna say another thing about that, and then we're going back to the text. Jesus spoke and said, many people had drawn nigh only with their mouth. In other words, they confess me, but they in their hearts they deny me. Because out of the hearts are the issues of life. I put two verses together. Why did I even say all of that? Because we're looking at Ahab, who knew the ways of God. And he said, I hate, stay, can you stay with me? As if this were a program that you used to like Seinfeld or maybe Frasier or like Dancing with the Stars, whatever show you liked. This is about life and death. Those shows are not, in a sense, they reflect it. Ahab said, I can't stand Micaiah. And to show that I can't stand him, I put him in prison. So Micaiah comes after hearing this messenger say, you need to be just like everybody else. And so Micaiah makes fun of King Ahab. He makes fun and he's sarcastic. Yeah, do what they said. And King Ahab, he gets upset. Did not tell you, Micaiah, stop making fun of me. You are to always speak the words of God. And I'm like, why? Ahab, do you really want to hear the words of God? You're not going to pay attention to them. Now, when we saw, I believe it was chapter 21. Yeah, because in 20, he goes, I think at the end of 20, he goes back to his palace and he's upset. And then in 21, We see that he has a little repentance and God delays the judgment. But right here, Ahab is upset. He might be more upset because Micaiah is making fun of him. So this is where Micaiah then, at this point, is where we left off. Let me see how many minutes I've taken up. I've taken up a considerable amount, but at least the story, the history, this account should be in our minds. Jehoshaphat is now going to lay the axe down. What's my title for tonight? My title is The Heavenly Threshing Floor. What? How in the world do you get the Heavenly Threshing Floor out of this context? Well, I've gone back to a scripture, at least in another translation, to get this in. So I'm going to read verse 10 of chapter 22, 1 Kings 22. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it, and I believe I have here the New International Version, and you'll see it, and I'm going to explain a little bit about that, and then we'll finally enter into this text for tonight. This is verse 10 of 1 Kings 22. And the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. So I've given a synopsis, maybe longer than you wanted, but I've given a synopsis. We want to be familiar with the Bible, better than familiar, that it can guide us, lead us, remember us. So I'm going to read it now in this other version, and you're going to hear the words threshing floor. Listen at verse 10. Dressed in their robes, the kings of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with the prophets prophesying before them. This is the 400 prophets that I was trying to remind us of before. Now, the threshing floor would be a place where I'm going to call it harvest, maybe for lack of a better word, when they would gather certain grains and so forth, the grains would be somewhat intertwined with a part that would not be necessary. So I was reading and said, and sometimes you'll see like an interjection or an explanation for maybe a more modern time, but I'm going to share part of what I read and we'll go back to the text. It said, once grains or cereals or let's say wheat, if you will, was collected, it said it would often be laid on a smooth area of the surface. Now we see right here is at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and say the best way to get that part out that was good is sometimes they would use animals, like let's say the oxen or whatever, to walk on it, and it would separate that good part, the grain or the cereal, from let's say the straws or the part that they wouldn't want to keep or that really could not be used. Sometimes you would the people would beat it with something or so forth. But the scripture often, even the Old Testament and some of the prophecies in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, or even up in the scripture, if you were to go to Luke, and we're not going to go there tonight. I was looking at stuff. And I was like, oh, I want this as my title. You'll see that the Bible will talk about separating the wheat from the chaff, or that the wind would blow the chaff, or that part that was not the good part, it would blow it away, and that good part would fall back to the ground. That's a way of separating, in an analogy, you'd see that the wicked would be separated from the good. Well, when I say the heavenly threshing floor, we're about to partake of a vision that Micaiah shares with this, I'm going to say the two kings, because Jehoshaphat is going to hear this as well. All the people are going to hear this as well. Well, Jehoshaphat and Ahab. And I want you to know that I believe that this Ahab is going to be separated by God. God's already told him, I'm going to kill you. Basically. So let's go now into the word of God, and we're going to look at this dream. I want you to pick back up at this. Let's go to verse 15, and I want you to read down until I ask you to stop. That might be 7 verses. It might be 9 or 10 verses. She wants to start at verse 14.
And Micaiah said, as Yahweh lives, what Yahweh says unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, Shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for Yahweh shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of Yahweh? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, sheep that have not a shepherd. And Yahweh said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And Yahweh said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. And Yahweh said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and Yahweh has spoken evil concerning
thee. Let's stop right there. So my wife has read from verse 14 to verse 23 in 1 Kings, 22nd chapter. I said we're going to be partaking in part of a vision. So there's some scriptures that I'm going to ask that we turn to as we go into this. So we're going to be looking in a good bit of the Psalms for a little bit for these next few minutes. Okay, so I'm going back. So now Ahab has become very, very aggravated and annoyed and, let's say, upset because he's determined that Micaiah is mocking him. King, he doesn't want to be mocked. He said, now tell me the truth. So Micaiah begins to share with the people, the king, and the rest of the individuals there what he's seen. So let's go back to this. I'm at verse 17. This is Micaiah speaking. And he said, I saw all of Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? This is where I ended on last week, and we went in to look at the difference between evil and good as God defines it in Amos 3 last week. What are we at in this verse 17? Micaiah said, this king, it's as if he's neglected the sheep. And the king was always supposed to keep God's word. The king was not supposed to exalt himself and mistreat the people. The king was supposed to enforce righteous judgment. The widow was supposed to be treated fairly and justly according to God's word. Go back and read Leviticus. Go back and read Deuteronomy. As the family of God, we don't mistreat one another. And God's righteousness, God's wisdom is what rules in this nation, is what rules amongst the Hebrew people. It was supposed to be so that all of the rest of the nations, Lord, have mercy. The wicked nations who were governed by demonic beings, they could look and see such a sanctified, that is a set apart difference with the people of God. Read Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Look at the 7th and the 8th verse. When God says, I claim Israel, that piece of land, that territory, for myself. That's my people. That's my land. But all these territories around, Moab, Ammon, Egypt, Phoenicia, Aram or Syria, these are nations that I've divided up and I've given them to the lesser gods. I've given them to the lesser beings, but Israel is mine. Yes, it is. This is what we see in the holy and righteous scriptures. Therefore, when I tell them what to do, they keep my law. They keep themselves separate. They will not do as all these other nations. They will have no other god other than me, because there are other gods, but they don't compare. Why? Because God, El Elyon Supreme, is almighty. Well, he said, these people are like, they've been neglected. They are as a flock or sheep without a shepherd. This is verse 17. And the Lord said, these have no master. Do we see that this right here is like, the prophecy was, I believe Elijah told him, says, you're going to die and the dogs are going to lick up your blood. We're seeing a little bit more explanation coming out here. These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Now he's gone forward because there's a battle where he wants to go up to Ramoth Gilead. He hadn't, Micaiah hadn't said this before. The 400 prophets hadn't said this before. And why you say these were the 400 prophets of the Lord, let's understand that it was the Lord Baal or some other Lord. Well, verse 18. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? How is it that this nation has traded God for wickedness? I believe it's in Jeremiah. It says, will a leopard even change its spots? We won't do that. But the people of God will change. Well, he says, because this is not what I want to hear. This is wicked. So I'm determining that I'm not going to listen to you. Now, if you remember, Zedekiah, when we were going, this is in the same text. Zedekiah, the previous, let's say some of the previous verses, I think we see him in verse 11. Last week, Zedekiah had put on a show. He got him some iron, if you will, some strong metal, and he fashioned him. This probably already existed. So he got him some horns, and he demonstrated before the people. He says, "I'm going to demonstrate to you what the Israel, the North, and Judah is going to be like when they go against Syria, and they're going to be so strong that it's going to be like we're going to be united like a strong oxen or bull or whatever, and we're going to go and we're going to guard them in our strength." Yeah, go on up. Now they're hearing something different. Why? Ahab is upset. Does he really want to hear? Well, I'm going to go to the 19th verse now. Listen at it. And it says, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. This is still Micaiah talking. Now listen. You didn't want to listen before. So now I'm going to give you some truth. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left hand. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall? I said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall, not be victorious, not be one who conquers, not be one who overthrows the Syrians? He's going to fall. I don't want it. He's got a hardened heart. Who's going to do it? Let's go back and look at this. I'm at the 20th verse, and the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on this manner, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, so when I do this, it's just a little dramatization. I'm not trying to be what, I can't equate how the Lord would have sounded. Listen, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, let me ask some questions before we go and look at some of this, okay? Dre, I'm going to need you to turn to, let's say, I think I want you to turn to Psalms, let's say 89. Psalms 89, because I got different ones here, and I didn't put them in an order, but let's go turn to Psalms 89 in a few minutes, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. We'll look at a few verses here in just a few seconds where we see the heavenly host and kind of take something that you're going to have to hopefully stay with me, because I'm going to try to do some things where we've learned a lot of this in Seeking Truth. All right. So we're looking into this vision here. And my question is, when we see this lying, the spirit come up and said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. Were the prophets telling the truth in the first place? If you were to answer that question, Dree, what would you say? Would you say that the prophets were already lying? She said, yes. I think most of us would say, yes, these prophets were already lying. There's a reason I'm asking this, and I hope to come back to it. So we look at something that's already taken place in the heart of these prophets, and we're looking at something that's taking place already in the heart of this King Ahab, right? So God is like, okay, how are we going to deal with this particular situation? So in light of this, let me share some things that I've read from this. I've read that many commentaries or person scholars would say that this is more or less a parable, and that this did not take place, but it was showing basically the essence of the outcome. Now I'm saying, years ago, I would have taken that. I'm like, oh, well, I can't explain it. Some people have the question, well, would God allow a lying spirit to go forth? Some people would say that is predestination. And if God is a loving God, do we really have a choice? So this is just a few of the things that I'm hoping that we can look at tonight. And we won't probably cover it all, but maybe in the discussion, because I know already that I'm not going to finish all this, but I want to get to a certain part. Well, I say, were these prophets already lying? And I say, was Ahab already in line with what they said? I believe the answer is yes. Let's look then at what this vision seems to be telling us. There's the heavenly host. So I'm going to turn to a few different portions of scripture, most of which are in the Psalms. I'm going to look at how the Bible refers to heavenly host. Okay, Dree, I think I asked you to turn to Psalms 89, and then we're going to read verses 5-8. Now we're cutting out bits and pieces of scripture to see certain things here about is this something that took place, or is this sort of like a parable? Is this just an explanation? Go ahead. Would you read that, Dree?
And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yahweh, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto Yahweh? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto Yahweh? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Okay, so when you look at this right here, you see this word saint. And I don't remember what the actual original word is right here, but you can find that it's talking about the heavenly being. When we talk about the heavenly being, we're talking about celestial bodies, if you will. Sometimes the scripture will refer to celestial bodies as actual beings that have an intelligence, beings that have the ability to communicate, beings that have a power by which they are able to minister unto God. The scripture will also show sometimes when you look at beings, it's talking about, how can I say, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But it will also refer to angelic beings, sometimes demons included, when we think about the word Elohim. It will also refer to them as like the stars and so forth. Now, when we just look at that, listen to how it reads again. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. This is the 89th division of the Psalms, and it's talking about these celestial beings are going to give honor to God. You shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, of thy faithfulness in all the congregation of these heavenly beings, the Elohim. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Now, I've said a word. I said Elohim. I hope I'm making sense. If not, then you definitely go back and listen to some of this. We're not through in the Psalms yet. Elohim would be, there's several Elohim. God is considered Elohim. It's a word that would be used to talk about, let's say a residence are those who are in, let's say, the invisible realm. Let me repeat it. We say Elohim, that's plural, would be those beings that are in the invisible realm. In other words, they're not in the realm where they can be, in which we are. We're not Elohim as long as we're living, okay? Now, what constitutes Elohim, okay? Elohim can be demons because it's in the spiritual realm. Elohim can be the angels that are ministers unto God. The Elohim can be those who have passed from this life to the next because they still are aware and conscientious, but they no longer have the physical body, right? Elohim is also Yahweh. Now we say, well, how is that possible? Or Elyon, God is almighty. He is above all the other spiritual beings. Now, when I say residence, you want to think of residence because they're in a realm that we are not in. They're in a realm that we're not in. This is why I say invisible. So when we say that God, Elyon, if you were to go back and just think about, I know I'm talking about different things, but what is the vision that we're looking at in the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings? Micaiah said, I saw something. God was on his throne and there were different spirits. God said, how are we going to deal with this matter? And there was one spirit that went to God and said, well, I'm going to do this. Another spirit went to God and said, I'm going to do this. Now, is this just a parable? When we look at the scripture, does it only deal with people on the earth or does it talk about other spirits? Lord have mercy. Does it talk about other beings? It does. You don't have to raise your voice. Just get passionate talking about this. Well, I wanted us to look at another portion of scripture. Let's turn to Psalms 82, Dre. I'm going to turn to Psalms 82. What did I say? She corrected me and took the S off. I promise you that you probably knew what I meant, but Psalm 82. I want us to look at the first verse, and then we're going to skip down. I didn't write it down, but I remember. I want Dre to read this first verse of Psalm 82. What am I doing unless you be confused? If you're sleepy, you probably are confused. I'm not calling anyone out, but what we're doing is looking at, okay, is there a reality in what we see? Is this vision really something that took place? You still might disagree with me when you draw your conclusion. The 82nd division of the Psalm is calling for God to judge. Now, I've mentioned before from Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, 8th and the 9th verse, that God divided the territories. So there are demonic beings and our spirits, our Elohim, that rule over certain, let's say, have dominion over certain masses of land. But God said, Israel is my people. I'm going to grow them up. These are my people. That's why I give them my statutes. So in this particular division of the Psalm, it's asking for God to rise up and judge because, see, God, if you look at the whole of the scripture, he wants to restore this his creation back to the Edenic state whereby he wanted all of his creation to live under his judgment, under his law, and to have his righteousness and his law to go out in the land. Oh, Romans the 8th chapter, verses 19, 20, 21, somewhere around there, talks about how creation groans to be restored. Oh, we're talking about God. When you gonna judge? Don't you read the first verse of this 82nd division of the Psalm, and then we're gonna skip down to the 7th and 8th verse. There's more in there, but please read the first verse.
A psalm of Asaph.
Yes.
God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods.
Listen, would you read it again, Dre? God does what?
God stands in the congregation of the mighty.
This is like the divine council where God is communicating or talking to these Elohim. It's like a court case and it's asking, God, judge. You see how long this wickedness is in the land. He's talking to them. What does it say, Dre?
He judges among the gods.
He judges among the gods, the other Elohim. Now, I am not so smart that I came up with this on my own. This is something that's puzzled me, but I've read some read some things and listened to some things, some sources. And Dr. Michael Heiser is one who has really helped me with this. And because I don't want you to feel like I just come up with it all as far as agreeing with everything that he says. I don't know. Some things I question maybe. But with this, he's looking at what the words from the original language says. Now, when we come to say what's taking place in the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings, this is just a parable. We are actually doing a disservice to what God's word said. We're not through yet. Three, I want you to skip down to verse 7 and verse 8 of this 82nd division of the Psalms.
Shall die like men.
So when you continue in this, you see saying, God, defend, defend. So he's talking to these people. Some people say this is only men of the world. And sometimes you can see where God would refer to people as magistrates or in high positions as gods because of their function. But sometimes there's a dual application and reality. He says, read it, Dree, but ye shall what?
Die like men.
Mm-hmm.
And fall like one of the princes.
Read that last verse.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Now, it's all nations. These would be other nations that would be ruled and governed by evil spirits. Now, I'm going to try and we're not going to go to all the verses that I have here, but I do want us to see just a little bit more. Dre, don't you turn to Deuteronomy 17th chapter. I think I hope I wrote this right. If I didn't, I think I might be remembered. 17th chapter. I want you to read the third verse. I hope I wrote this down right.
And I can't start at the second verse.
She wants to start at the second verse. Again, if I've written this down correctly, this is Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. I'm trying to make a case here for the reality of the vision that we've seen is not just being a parable. Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. And she wants to start at the second verse. Go ahead.
If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God has given thee, man or woman that has wrought wickedness in the sight of Yahweh thy God, in transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded.
Good to read.
And it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently. And behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel. Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which hath committed that wicked thing, unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to a verse or two. Now, it seems to be the equating of sun, moons, and stars as the gods, the lesser gods, and or as a representation of them. Listen at this. I'm at verse 3. And has gone, this is talking about transgressing God's covenant. And it says, and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun, moon, or any host of heaven. So previously when I was saying that often when the Bible would speak host of heaven, it would be celestial beings, sun, moon, stars, and are these demonic beings, if you will, these demonic beings given authority over these other territories. You say, Gary, where is that? Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verses 8 and 9. And I think if you would go on even and read the 17th chapter of that verse, I believe it gives something very similar to what my wife just read. One more scripture or one more area I want to go, and then we're going to come back to the vision here. Okay. Talking about there are celestial beings, there are demonic beings, there's a spiritual realm. Paul says in, I think, Ephesians, Lord have mercy, 6 and 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities. It goes on into those things. So these people would sacrifice unto demons. That's why God said, you don't take their gods. So Ahab, listen to me. Ahab has endorsed. Ahab has allowed this wickedness to prevail, and he's led God's people astray. He married a woman that said, I will get this land for you. He married a woman that had killed so many prophets that that strong and mighty prophet Elijah was scared. And he went way down south. And we think God is not going to deal with wickedness. When this king had God's word at his hand, when this king said, I hate this Micaiah, let's take it to the court. I hate God's word. Lord, have mercy. Now we're going to come back. Dre, before we read this Psalms 103, we just want to turn to Ephesians. I want to turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So we'll talk about something that's happened. I see it's almost 9:47, but I'm going to continue just a little bit, okay? If you need to hang up and maybe call back in and listen or dial in and listen to the podcast, you're free to do that. We'll go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I know I probably didn't explain it the best. Maybe I generated questions in your mind. What's going on with this Ahab, even though he knows the truth and he's called this man out to tell him the truth? Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I'm cutting into a New Testament writing here, an epistle, okay? Some say this is circular also. But I want to start at, and this is largely talking about Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus says that, I think it's in Luke, I don't know if it's the 24th chapter, where he says all scriptures testify of me, or the thought there, what I'm trying to say is that Jesus, like, all of the scriptures is about me and what I'm going to do. Okay, listen, I'm at Ephesians 4 and 17, and I'm going to read 18. All right. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. This is Paul writing here, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Ahab is walking like Jezebel, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I'm making an application somewhat. Is we can see that Paul is telling them that in that particular time. But I think we see a little bit in Ahab. Ahab knew the truth, but his heart, he has given in so much that his heart is now blinded and he has the truth given to him. Micaiah says, your people are going to be like sheep without a shepherd. And Ahab is still going to want to do what those 400 prophets said. He is blinded. He is like, the Bible says in Romans 8, somewhere 5 or 6, it says that enmity of the world, you can't please God with wickedness in your heart. I forget how it goes. Listen to verse 20 of Ephesians. But you have not so learned of Christ. Let's say, Ahab, you have not learned this of God. Oh, my gosh. Well, I want to look at this Ephesians, this fifth chapter in the sixth verse. Listen to what it says. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Ahab. I'm taking this and we're making the application retrospectively. Ahab, don't be deceived even by your heart or what these prophets are telling you. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God. And I've already mentioned how Paul says in 6 and 12, same book, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. These powers and these rulers is speaking of dominion of these other lands that have false gods, Moloch, Milcah, Ashtoreth, Balaam, Baal, rather. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he uses people. And we're going to go back. We're going to kind of wrap this up. And we'll hopefully finish this on next week. Micaiah has been told you need to say what everybody else is saying. But Micaiah comes back and he mocks Ahab in sarcasm. Ahab gets mad. And he says, I told you to tell me the truth. Don't be mocking me up here. You're making me look stupid. That might be part of what he was thinking. He said, but I told you always, tell me the truth. So he begins to tell him, I saw the Lord in his power, in his majesty, sitting on his throne, rather. Now I'm going back now, and I'm now at the 19th verse of the 22nd chapter. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And some would say this is a parable. I see that the scripture shows us that there's a reality of these Elohim been in the presence of God? You remember Job 1 and 6, when the sons of God came into man and Satan came with him? Chapter 2 says the same thing, similarly, in Job. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner. That means one offered a suggestion, or this is how I can do it. And another said on this manner. Another one said, well, this is how I would do it. And then in verse 21, and there came forth the spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now, in looking at the divine counsel and some of the things that I've read, we see that, okay, maybe we don't see, but I'm going to try to explain it. Looks like God wants his sons of God that he said, of these beings, these Elohim in another realm, angelic beings. But we had those who rejected God. The book of Enoch talks about this. I can't remember all of the chapters, but I think chapter 6 does, maybe 12, 13, or 16. Anyway, those that rejected God become, let's say, wicked. And so it's like, I was listening to one person last week. He said, I don't believe God needed any help to do this, so this is probably not possible. But he didn't, certify necessarily one way or another. No, God does not need our help for anything. But he chooses. And a part of his divine counsel, you see how Moses sometimes, God was going to destroy the people of God. And Moses is like, God, but if you do that, this is what the others might say. So it's in God's permissive will. So it looks like God has said, I want you to serve me, these angelic beings, be the servants of God. So we get a picture, it looks like, into how God would do certain things. Now, I had another scripture where you can see, I think it's in Daniel. I don't know if it's the fourth chapter or the sixth chapter, when it talks about the watchers and how they're going to deal with Nebuchadnezzar. You'll see God looks like he's having a council meeting. So does he need those? Mm-mm. No, he doesn't. But we see how God, government, can work. So let's go on and go back to where we are. So one says, I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the voice of all the prophets. Now I posed the question. I said, were these prophets already lying? And I asked that question because some will say this is predestination. So they didn't have a choice at all. I think a good example is the book of Exodus. So please bear with me and I'm going to read. We'll see what time it is. Beginning ready to close out, hopefully in a few minutes. And Lord willing, next week we'll finish out with the chapter. The book of Exodus. Moses approaches the Pharaoh on many occasions, and he says, let my people go. Pharaoh doesn't do it, and it looks like he's going to. And then there are 9 plagues. I think 10 plagues, rather. And Pharaoh has many occasions to change his heart, but he doesn't. So I think it's in the 7th chapter, maybe somewhere around the 13th verse, where the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It looks like there's a time frame when it says God, you fill up the measure. Several weeks ago, I talked about fill up the measure. Looks, I don't know what the measure is for a nation. I don't know what the measure is for a people. But God determines that I have given you enough time. Manasseh was wicked. King Manasseh killed so many people and he repented. His son was wicked and God dealt with him. Lord have mercy. And in such a short time. So there is a time by which God will do something. And I believe we see a measure filled up with Ahab. Whereby God said, now I'm going to judge you. The heavenly threshing floor. I am about to separate you, tear from the wheat. You have destroyed my people. You have honored other gods. You have married this wicked woman. And here I have Micaiah telling you the truth. And you're still going to honor these 400 prophets. We're not going to go into the battle tonight. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. That's where my title comes in. It's time for separation. So listen here. And there came forth, I'm back at verse 21, and there came forth the spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. I believe that we see what Romans, the first chapter, is talking about. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind or reprobate heart. to do those things which are unseemly. That's talking about the men having relationship, physical, sexual relationship with men, women having physical, intimate, sexual relationship with women. That came in. You go back and you look at the ancient cultures. That's what they did. That's what they did. Look at the Roman culture, how the men would use the little boys. Look at the Roman culture, and God said, don't follow the ways of these nations. And that's exactly what they did when they would go up into the high places in the groves. That's what the scripture is talking about. So we say, this is a parable. I think not. I said, read Deuteronomy, 32nd chapter, 7th and 8th verse. Now, in the King James Version, it'll say sons of Israel, but the original, and I think it's the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I forgot the other one, the Septuagint, that will say the sons of God. Anyway, there's a lot that can be said on that. We can't do it all tonight. So I'm now at the 22nd verse, where God responds to the spirit that said, I'll go be a lying spirit. He's not going to change. Ahab is not going to change. He doesn't remember the mercy that I gave him. He doesn't remember how that there was a famine and I didn't destroy him. He doesn't remember, it seems, that when I gave him victory over the Syrians twice. He doesn't remember how the prophet came to him and on many, 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 many occasions. But now he wants to go and do something that I'm saying he should not do. 22nd verse. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, that is Ahab, and prevail also. You're going to be, you'll accomplish what I'm looking for. Go forth and do so. 23. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. This is Micaiah. Now we go from the vision to where Micaiah is telling Ahab, God put a lying spirit in these prophets. So you say, maybe that. Plus one perfecto. Anyway, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. God said, he's already said you're going to die. But Zedekiah, this is where we're going to stop here in just a few seconds. But Zedekiah, this is the same man who came up with the steel horns and he was saying, yeah, you can go on up because this is our strength. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek. He smacked him. He wanted to humiliate it and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Tell me, since you know so much and you're inclined and you got all these visions, which spirit told you to do this? Listen at it. The son of Chenana went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? You're so big and bad. And listen to how Micaiah talked to him. And Micaiah said, I'm not moved and I'm not shaken by you slapping me. Lord have mercy if I could get there. I'm not moved and I'm not shaken. Listen at verse 25. Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into thy inner chamber. You're going to go into an inner room and you're going to be high. And little chicken, you're going to be high because you see the truth of God, his judgment coming down. You big and bad now because you don't see. You don't understand. Your mind is darkened and you want to kiss up to this king. But I serve an almighty God. He's going to destroy you. He's going to destroy that king. And you're going to be high. But David said, if I cover my head, he'll find me. David said, if I cover my feet, he'll find me. David said, if I make my bed in heaven, he'll find me. You can't hide from the Lord. Hebrews 4th chapter and about the 13th verse, and we're going to give an account to him. Well, so verse 28. Wait a minute, did I skip? Let's go back to verse.
Thus saith the king.
Where are you, Dree? 27. I want you to read 25 through until I ask you to stop because we're getting ready to wrap it up.
And the Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, Yahweh has not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you.
Let's stop right there. Let me talk just a little bit about these, I guess, three four verses here. And Lord willing, we'll pick back up, hopefully on Tuesday night, with finishing out this chapter. I said hopefully. So Ahab says, take Micaiah and just put him back in prison. He says, as a matter of fact, barely give him anything to eat. I want him to suffer. I want him to suffer because he's made me mad. I want him to suffer because he's made fun of me in front of all these people. Zedekiah, you did very well to slap him. Yes, you did. Now go confine him. Go cause him to suffer, even though I know that this is coming from the Lord. Well, 27 verse, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come. See, when I come back, I say, and I'm probably going to treat him even worse. I might even put him to death until I come in peace. Well, Micaiah was not finished in rebuking the king and carrying out the rebuke even to Zedekiah, all of those 400 priests or prophets. 28 verse, and Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace. Now, remember, he talked about the sheep. They're going to go back to their house in peace because God will have resolved the issue. That's peace sometimes requires a very stern judgment. And sometimes God just takes people out. Yeah. If thou return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. In other words, if you come back up in here, then I've been lying. Zedekiah knew what the Bible had said about if a false prophet come up and the things that he says come to pass. He says, you better continue to watch him. Micaiah knew this. Listen, so if you come back alive, dude, in peace, then God hasn't spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, everyone of you, like, pay attention. Take heed, pay attention. So the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. Well, that's a sad verse. And this is where I'm actually going to stop, verse 29. So basically what you see is, Jehoshaphat, after witnessing all of this and hearing all of this, he goes up to Ramoth Gilead anyway. Remember, 22nd chapter started with this. Shall I go up to Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat says, can you bring a prophet of God here? Well, this has been religious type thing. There was counsel. Ahab asked his prophets, and God's man, Micaiah, came, and he suffered. Slapped, made fun of, rebuked, put back in prison, but he was doing the Lord's will. There's a heavenly threshing for this going on right here. He said, you come back in peace now, but you're not coming back because you're going to be tossed up, metaphorically speaking, as the chaff, and the wind's going to blow you away. Your vapor is about to go out. Lord, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to go through your scripture again. I ask that you help us, dear Lord, to live lives that are pleasing to you. And when we want to turn aside, Lord, help us not to turn aside. Got your word. We've heard so much teaching, so much preaching. And while it might be sometimes a lot to take in, you told us that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You give us in your word these things so that we can learn and have hope. We know that Micaiah needed the hope and the reality and the truth of your word. I ask that you help us to be faithful, even when it means to the death, whether that death is just to self or whether it comes to physical death. Give us your strength, Lord. We long for your coming. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open up to conversation if there's going to be any. I appreciate your patience if you were able to stay with us on this evening. If there are questions, I'll do my best to respond to them. We're open for discussion. Yes, sir.
I think that they did not have the mindset to already lie ahead of time.
Okay. I can see why you say that. As I read that other verse, it says God had said it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that it makes it seem as if it seems that they could have had differing views, differing thoughts. But see, they had God had had a divine counsel, and they had all those differing thoughts. And then once they, this is what I'll do. And he said, go ahead. So Micaiah had seen this, obviously, before he goes to Quaton, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so when he goes, he sees exactly what he said. I've seen the council. I've seen the meeting. I have seen those that are up there before the throne of grace, which is also the throne of judgment. And this is what I saw. This is why they doing it. You ain't ever gonna come back. you gonna be dead. You're gonna be dog food. This was so beautiful. But that's what I believe.
Well, I agree with you, cousin. Should I take these out of my ear, Dre? So, cousin, when I was reading it, because sometimes I try to remember the whole text, but when I saw it, it's what we call. This is. Let me take this out.
This is what we call. And I don't know how to figure it out for you. Maybe this is what we call a tautology. Do one of those kind of big words.
But I could tell by the way it's worded is that's what it looked like. For instance, if I say something like this, she had already left when we arrived. So I'm going as I was reading it again, I was like, oh, okay, so. I totally see what you're talking about.
It doesn't make you agree, but
it doesn't what?
Say that again, Tim.
Please.
It would not necessarily make him agree with me.
Are you talking into your mic? We can barely hear you.
Yes, I hear myself twice.
Go ahead and plug that.
Okay, give me 1 second. We had we changed just a little bit of something.
Well, I'll just say I'm glad Ahab died. I'm very pleased that he put to death all the stuff he's done. All the evil that he had done, and then he hated the man that was going to give him instruction. And I believe that was God giving Micaiah some peace, giving him, you know, I'm going to give you something extra. Go on in, and you'll be able to take this mistreatment differently, probably than you would if you didn't know what the end would be. And maybe we should look into that when we know God's word, what he said on something, whether we were in the council and saw the beings with him, we ought to at least know what his word is. And when we give people the right instruction, no matter how they ostracize us, give us the bread of affliction and lock us up or, you know, keep us away from them, we know what God has said. And due to the fact that God's throne is in righteousness, justice, loving kindness, and truth, the loving kindness is being extended toward us because we've been faithful. It was extended toward them. They rejected it. So now he gets what's left, the justice, the faithfulness. And he gets all of that coming to him. You know, so it's really good to see God gave him something. Yeah, no matter what happens, you know he ain't going to be ruling much longer.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, Rich.
I just wanted to say that I can see that the Kings are your friend, and I can see that they're Gary's friend also. You know, when Gary gets walked back on, I just tell him I can see that they're friends. Y'all are friends, you know. And one day I hope to get there where I can really look and say, you know what, I understand exactly what's going on. I know who these Kings are and what's going on. I ain't there yet, but I admire y'all, you know. I admire you and Gary too, because the Kings are definitely becoming his friends, and that's fantastic.
And I think he might be in friends with Micaiah a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Do you feel like you would really love to slap Jehoshaphat upside the head or on the hand and like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Are you asking me how I feel about it?
I'm asking you, do you feel like you, a little bit, you might feel that way towards, if we're talking about the kings being our friends, do you feel like, you know, you'd like to pull Jehoshaphat to the side or do something to him and wake him up?
Well, I'd like to really know what the text says, you know, then I can add what I'm saying is, quote unquote, you know, I've been through it, you know, but, I don't know what's going on in there yet, but that's going to change, you know.
Well, he was going to help a relative that hate God, that celebrated all of God's holy days with a new name and a new date with new regalia. So in other words, they had gotten into doing Baal and the Grove. There was they had calves in Bethel and Dan. He had priests that did not belong to God. And to him, it wasn't a great big deal that he could still mention God, and he got the people confused with all of this blending of religion, state religion, because he ruled the north. So his state religion was Baal, and he gave them feast days, days that they could have holidays, and by the state, because he ruled the state, he ruled the government. And he's supposed to represent God. And so now Jehoshaphat is going with him to go fight with Syria, and that ain't what he's supposed to have been doing.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and again, to use Josiah's words, you know, I don't like that. I don't like that if you're supposed to be representing God and you're not representing God the way you're supposed to.
But think about this. I got another one for you. I listened to a man talk about when Eddie Long was molesting those boys and talking about he had five smooth stones and he hadn't thrown one, and then he settled out of court. And then he was just talking about some of the things with those churches stood behind Eddie and what the boys have to go through and all the calls he gets from people that are molested by pastors and deacons and all of that. And he's, you know, he was just saying the black church, because he really wanted to focus on the black church. We've let the people down. Well, in that case, those people that said it's okay, or that said that just forgive him and all of that, they were just like the prophets of Ahab. It ain't that bad. Go on up and be with this man. Go on up and let him sit in a chair. Go on up and let them wrap a Torah, a fake Torah around him, and let this white guy say that now I'm going to anoint you to the position of king, and you raise your hand up in the air like a Baphomet. And where was somebody in that church to be like Micaiah and say, this is damnation. This is a mockery. We have opportunity. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, when you explain it like that, it's like, you know, we do need to learn, stand up for righteousness. We need to do that. You know, we need to do that. And see, you know, Tim, understand this. It's one thing to, you know, I mean, they're your friends. You know what's going on. You know what's going on there. And I'm seeing that that they're becoming Gary's friends. I can just listen to him, man, and I say, you know, he knows, just like you said, when he said that he understood what you were saying, you said that didn't necessarily mean that he has to agree with you. And that's when he got off and everything. See,
that was smart, Rich. That was him being very smart and intelligent.
Okay.
I hope he can take that humor.
Yeah, I can. Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
I don't know what happened with our connection. I don't think we did anything different to it, but after y'all finish, I can kind of explain what I meant, I think. So,
well, Gary, I'm finished. I wanted you to hear me say, like I said to Tim, I can see that these kings are your friends again. You know, it's the same comment that I made the last time. You know, I see that you are really beginning to master these books. And I'll be honest with you, I admire you on that. You know, what I was telling Tim, and I'll leave it at that. You know, both of you guys are way ahead of me on the kings, you know, I'm not jealous. I admire. I'm gonna tell you straight up, I admire you guys for that. And one day, I hope to join in on the conversation with some intelligence. I'll just say it that way. And so it was good from that sense. So now you can go ahead on that. That was my comments. I mainly wanted you to know that I was on the line. I didn't sleep all the way through it this time. and I admire the fact that the kings are your friends.
You know? Well, thank you, Brother Rich. Just keep praying for me because I'm just trying to read and study, but I was looking, you know, we've talked about different things that kind of help us understand when we start talking about the spiritual realm. And by no means, I think you finished the book before I did. And I still have a few chapters, but I can use it as a resource. And the good thing is I see him, he points us to the scripture. And I really like that. And it's not like this is just how I feel. No, he's looking at the scripture and words and putting text with text. Which I don't think I did it as well as I would have liked to. I had a little issue with my vehicle today. So I took a little bit of my time that I had assumed that I would have. But anyway, still just looking and trying to learn. And I listen even to my CDs because I have to go back and remember. I almost said Asa several times tonight instead of Ahab. And I know when we get to Jotham and Jehoram and all some of these other names, it's going to be a task. But I don't want to come and not have put a sufficient amount of time in, you know, to talk about, you know, God's word. But with regards to, you know, Jim disagreed with me, which is one of the things that I like about Seeking Truth. We can put questions out there, disagree. And in a brotherly way, challenge to really kind of get to, okay, which is right. And I think the last thing he was saying about that is that just because he said it doesn't mean that I have to agree with it or that I agree with it. So in looking at it, my question before was, were they already lying? And so it's like, okay, so if they were doing this before, then the spirit goes, and then it's like an after the fact. I think it's a chance maybe that they could be doing it in light of how I explained Pharaoh and him not being willing to yield to Moses' request and rebuke. Eventually says, well, God's going to kill you firstborn. So, and then I refer to Romans 1, how God gave him over to reprobate mind. When you see that these nations will continue to do this, continue to do this, continue to do this. When I go back and I look at this 23rd verse, in light of the 23rd verse says, now therefore behold the Lord. Like, look and see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. When we read about the lying prophets, like, okay, I'll go back and I'll go to now verse 12, and all the prophets, women, and all the prophets, and all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up in Ramoth Gilead. So it's like we see what was taking place retrospectively in 12 by what we saw in the vision and then is announced in 23. I can't remember in English how we say it, but it's like it's called, I think, the pluscum perfect, where one past action has happened before another. And so if I say I read the text before y'all called in, I read the text would be considered like a pluscum again, pluscum perfect, which is a compound in before y'all called in. And though I don't know exactly how it was written and what the tenses and so forth are, I didn't look for it. When he said, when I read it and he said it, I had already thought it after I read it or Dre read it. And then he said, I thought, okay, I see why you might be saying that. So I can see that definitely as a possibility. But I do think because of some of the wickedness that they had been doing before and didn't change, that is also on the table.
All right. Well, one day, you know, I was telling Tim and I talked today, and he was telling me how he's going to go back and really remember the Kings and do all that. I'm thinking, boy, if he remember them any more than he already does, it's like it's just going to be wow, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, I was telling him how, you know, with the summaries of books that he's been doing, that how I'm starting to, like, read summaries. Like, I've been reading a summary on Deuteronomy 4 days in a row this week. I'm gonna read two more summaries on Deuteronomy, and then go back and start reading summaries on Numbers, maybe Leviticus, and then come back. Since I'm doing that, you know, Leviticus is a book I'm studying right now. But even though I'm studying Leviticus right now, I'm still gonna just read what the summary says, you know, out of these books that I'm saying, and see how the summary lines up with what I'm getting in terms of particulars and everything. Yes, and I'm saying all of that to say, you know, I'm sure that I know what I have to do to begin to make those kings my friends. You know, it's just like I'm not just studying them now. You know, when I get there, I'll read the summaries. But seeing the kings, you got lots of names. You know, lots of names of kings, lots of names of prophets and everything. So there's a lot of names to remember to put in with the story. You know, you guys, you know, Tim, and I can see you. You're starting to remember those names and making, you know, it's like you're there in the story because you remember who everybody was and what they were doing and everything. And all I'm saying is I'm not there yet, you know, and I'd be lying if I said that I was. I'm not there yet, but it's good for me to just listen to you guys. And one day, God willing, you know, like when I get to the Kings and I tell you guys, okay, now I'm studying them. One day, I hope to be able to join in on the conversation, you know, and really participate. But you know, just what Seeking Truth is showing me, what you guys are showing me, is that it can be done. You know, it can be done. See, I'm not going to, I'll just say this, and then I am going to shut up. You know, my son-in-law called me a liar because I said that I don't know the Bible. And he, you know, in other words, he thinks that, oh, I'm just lying, that I know the Bible. But I'm just trying to, for whatever reason, make something up and act as though I don't know it when I do, you know. And see, the thing is, I know what I don't know. I know what I don't know, and I know what I think I know. And you know, for him to call me a liar, the bottom line is, it's like he and I were yelling at each other over the phone. And I guess if we're in front of each other, you know, I don't know if the fist would have started going or not, but you know.
Oh, good Lord!
I don't know, but you know, And I definitely, and his picture just popped up on my computer here. You know, I love him with my two grandchildren at that time, and my daughter, you know, the third one wasn't born. But he is the father of my grandchildren and everything, you know. But he gonna call me a liar because I say I don't know the scripture, you know.
If he would listen
and be honest, he'd say the same thing.
that might be why he called you a liar. But if he hits you, just hug him, and you know what? If that don't stop, let somebody come over there with guns and tasers and billy clubs and let him have somewhere to cool off.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, the way I'm feeling now, like I was just barely moving around. You know, I was kind of in a little pain, just barely moving around. And so I'm not ready to put on my dancing shoes, you know, to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. But believe me, either I'm going to run or I'm going to do something to try not to get hit, you know, or something's going to happen, you know. I mean, that's all I'm saying. And God knows, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking, and I just say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, like as I'm going through the Gospels right now, the synoptics thing, you know, when I get to the part where Jesus tells them, you know, straight up, love your enemies, I really want to meditate on that, you know, and make sure that I'm doing it, you know, that I'm doing what Christ is saying to do, you know. So I love listening to you guys. That's why I keep coming out there, God willing. This Saturday I'll be out there again, you know.
Yes, sir.
And Tim, God willing, you know, we can take a little time on Saturday and go through that, because I got a little bit more to type up and put in the thing on Buddhism, but. God willing, if we get out there, we want to spend a little time going over that. I'm ready.
Good Lord, that sounds like you've been working for us.
All right.
Well, Gary, I'm going to listen to everybody else. I've had a wonderful time talking.
Are there any other comments, or is there a question this evening? Okay.
Good night, John boy.
Good night, everybody. Appreciate your calling in, and we go back to our regular night. So I'm planning on, assuming again, Tuesday, Lord willing. So hopefully we can pick back up and finish out this 1 Kings 22. We'll probably look at a little bit of Chronicles. I remember it's 18 and 19. Second Chronicles. Yeah, Second Chronicles. So, all right, Lord willing, we'll connect with up online. Hopefully we'll see each other Saturday. So let's keep praying for one another. So love you all, and good night.
All right, good night.
Good night. Good night.
All right. Mm-hmm.